Again, before I begin, I just want to... The Holy Spirit has told me in worship this morning that somebody needs to know in this building that his promises he always keeps. I don't know who that's for, but just know it. Thank you. So before I get started, I just want to give you a little background. Anytime I am getting ready to do any type of a speaking, I always take the time to just sit in the spirit. And I listen to Christian music. And I work for the state of Michigan, and so even when I'm doing speeches for the state of Michigan, where the two aren't supposed to cross, it still does. So I just sit and I think of words. And as I'm listening to music, I'm writing words. And then I just write and write. And when I feel that that is exhausted, I just take some time and I go back through each word. And I just pray on each word. And the Holy Spirit will really bring some to the forefront. Well, as I was writing this presentation, this is a presentation that I was blessed to be able to share with the district when it was Great Lakes Bay region and at a district event. And I just loved it. So I feel very blessed that my friend Brian has invited me here to share it with you. So I'm in my time of prayer, and the thing that keeps coming to me is God's dream. God's dream. And I was kind of confused because God created everything, we all agree. God's in charge of everything. God ordains everything. Why would God need a dream? And so all of these words came to me. Yes, God has a dream. And the verse that came to me was Romans 9 or 8:29. And what it says there is God created the first son, his son. And we are part of his dream because he created his son and he created us to be in his son's image. So God's dream is for you and I to be in his son's image. Sounds a little overwhelming, but think of it this way. This is kind of what came to me. I and you are on God's dream team. That's pretty amazing, right? Like if you play sports in high school, you get your picture in the newspaper, right? This is the Ortonville dream team of basketball, or in your county, right? So now you have to imagine this wonderful newspaper in the sky, and it says, you were called by name to be on God's dream team. Now, if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. But of course, anytime you're on a dream team, it requires some work, correct? So you were called, and that's just a natural thing, but now we have to do some work. So as I'm preparing, all of these words are coming to me and they're not going away, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, how am I going to get this message across with all of these words? And you don't know me, but I have to tell you, I love words. Anyone that likes to speak loves words. So I love words. And so all of these words came in, and I thought, Lord, how are we going to do this? How do you want me to be your messenger of all of these, being on your dream team? And so today, we're going to use an acrostic method, and we're going to use the word dream. And I'm going to go through some of the words that the Spirit placed in my heart, and we're going to talk about them. And as we journey through this acrostic, there'll be one or two words that will just touch you. And I pray that you just write them down. For the overachievers in the group, there'll be three or four words that will touch you. And again, just write them, jot them down and see what God is calling that word to your spirit. See, there's not going to be any big revelation today. Anything that I am going to say today, you already know. And I know that because I know your pastor's heart. And I know how much he loves Jesus. And I know that he has already shared this with you. So, you know, you're not going to walk around here, walk out of here saying that girl's a genius. You're going to walk out saying, yeah, we knew that. And that's good. That is wonderful. And that's what I want for you. So let us begin our journey. You have Vacation Bible School coming up. We had ours in Freeland in June, and I have finally recovered. But what fun. And as you hear these words, this is what I want you to think. How does God want me to use this word to touch my church, to touch my family, to touch my community, to touch my district, to touch those wonderful, energetic children? And how is God going to use this to touch these children's parents? I pray that you build a relationship with the parents that drop these babies off. That was my aha moment this year in Vacation Bible School, and we had a blast, but boy, the parents need us. They need us to come alongside them and raise these children. So that is my prayer. So, let's begin. I might have to be up a little bit further. So dreaming, God's dream. The letter D that I came up with, I might have to be closer. Okay, well, we'll just go right down here because I am, there we go. There we go. The three words that came to my mind with the letter D is deny. Are you willing to deny yourself and carry your cross for Christ? Desire. Do you desire to be a follower of Christ? Do you desire to be Christ-like? Don't be lukewarm, right? We all know the scripture. Don't be a lukewarm Christian. You might as well be cold, right? And furthermore, if you want to be Christ-like, you need to tell your face. I walk around the world all the time, and I see people that are, I'm a Christian. Really? Well, you better tell your face. Because your face didn't tell me that, and I know what it's like to have Jesus in my heart. And my face should be telling you that I am a Jesus follower. And be a doer. What does it say? Be a doer of God's word. And that looks different for Jenny, right? The doer of music. And that looks different for Brian. And that looks different for you. And it looks different for me. But we need to be doers of God's word. R, remember. Do you remember why you're here? Do you remember why God said, I'm going to send my son? Do you remember that? Why he died on the cross? That wasn't just so that we would have pretty chains to wear around our neck. It wasn't so that we would have pretty crosses and decorations in our building. It was so that we would have eternal life. And reverence. When reverence came to me, I was like, huh? What is, you know, what is, I mean, I know what that means, but what does it mean in relation to God's dream? And it's simply respect. Do you respect what God has done All right, we're slowing down again. There we go. Do you remember this? Does this touch you? Or is it just a picture? A picture you see everywhere. You see it in our churches. You even see it on the movies now, right? Which is great. We have great Christian movies. But you even see it in that entertainment setting. But what does it do to you when you see it? Do you respect it? Do you respect the cross? Do you respect the crown of thorns? Do you respect them lifting the cross and it just thudding down into the hole? We need to respect it and we need to remember it. And if we respect it and we remember it, then what's our reality? Our reality should be then what it says here, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, which means everything. Everything that has been given to you should be used for God's glory, right? It's tough sometimes, right? Because I go to work every day and then I go home. But my home needs to be used to glorify God if I respect what he has done for me. Brian, you have to be on this side, just so you know. Can you move that one? For some reason, it's stuck. Thank you. Well, thank you. The letter E. These are a couple of my favorites. E for educate. It's like I was saying, and I don't know your son's name. Pardon? Abel. I was saying to Abel, if you want to be a doctor or a scientist, you don't just jump in the lab and say, here, I'm here to make some fun potions. When my kids were little, they would make some of the weirdest concoctions, and they would put them in the freezer. And when I would come home from work, I would open the freezer, and I never knew what I was going to find in the freezer. And I would say, oh, well, what is this? And then they would say, soap and salt and pepper and pickle juice or whatever it was. Now, I want you to know that neither of them are scientists today. So obviously, Abel has to go educate himself, right? Yeah, I know. I can tell. You have it. And so we must educate ourselves as Christians. And that means spending time in the Bible, spending time in a study, spending time here, asking questions. If you're really unsure of something, ask the question. Don't, you know, just say, well, I'll figure that out later. Ask the question. So educate yourself. If God has called you by name to be his son and to be Christ-like, he has also called you by name to learn what that is. And my favorite one is expectations. And if my children were here, they would say, they would be able to quote this. And even though they're 28 and 23 now, their eyes would still be rolling in the back of their head, because they've heard it growing up so much. Expectations minus reality equals disappointment. So as we educate ourselves in being Christ-like, we are going to disappoint ourselves. That's just a given. We're human. But what we have to look at, well, what was our expectation? Do you expect to be perfect? No. Because what does it say? It says we are all sinners and have fallen short of God's glory. So don't expect to be perfect, right? If your reality is a little off, just recheck your reality. Well, how do you do that? Well, you educate yourself and you change your reality so you're not disappointed in what's going on. And this works also as you're getting ready for Vacation Bible School. This works in your community too, because I'll tell you a story of Freely United Methodist Church when we did VCI. Have you been through the VCI process at all? Okay. When we did VCI, one of the tasks were we had to go out into our community and educate ourselves on what our community needed. So we went to the principal and we went to the superintendent, and they both said, we need a summer food program. So we made a committee, because that's what we do, right? Well, first, we made a committee to decide who should be on the committee. That was the first thing we did, right? And then the person that drew the short straw had to be the chair of the committee, right? We've all been on committees, I mean, let's face it. And then we had probably like 10 meetings on how we were going to do this summer food program. And we spent a lot of time, and we spent a lot of resources, and we, you know, had donations come in, and we decided we were going to do one in June, one in July, and one in August. It was going to be three times we were going to do it. The first one, we had like 25 people there, and we were pretty excited about that. According to the principal and the superintendent, we would have a lot more, but okay, we'll take our 25. And we had a meeting after the first one, and we said, well, it was such a good thing that we did, that I'm sure they'll all come next time. You know, word's going to get out about how wonderful we are. And the next time, we had 7 people. Yeah. So then we had another meeting, and we said, well, what are we going to do? So we collected even more food. I'm not sure why, but we collected even more food, and August came, and we had 1 family come. So we spent a lot of time and a lot of resources doing what we thought we should do for our community. And then a little verse came, and it's Proverbs, and it says, man purposes. That's all of our committees, all of our meetings. And God disposes. So, what I want you to think about is here in God's dream for your community that God is calling you to do, and then have a committee, and then don't have a meeting right away. Have a time of silence. Maybe you fast together. Maybe you pray together. I don't know what that looks like for you. But make sure that you as the person, or like we did, as us, the people, don't make it our own idea and steal it from God. Because that didn't work out for us. But what did work out is we started building relationships with the people, and that's what God wanted from us. God will provide the food, and it could be us that provide it. But God wanted us to do face painting. And God wanted us to sit across the table from the parent while their child was getting their face painted. That's what God wanted. And our superintendent and our principal, well, they don't know that. But God planted the vehicle in their heart to give us the information. And we put the cart before the horse, or we put our idea before God, and it wasn't what he wanted. You can go ahead and move that. I don't know why it's doing that. This is my favorite. The letter A in this is my favorite because it's something I can do. The first thing is to ask God. asking God before you even get out of bed in the morning, God, what do you want me to do today? What can I do for you today? And before you get out of bed, that one simple thing may be to put a smile on your face. It's all I want you to do. See, there's a lady, a young lady down the street that doesn't know how she's going to feed her kids next. There's a man that doesn't know how he's going to pay his bills. And I just need you to put a smile on your face to encourage him. That might be all it is. And I'm going to challenge you to do that before your feet hit the ground, and maybe even before you open your eyes, as soon as you get done grumbling about the alarm going off, to take a second, say, God, what do you want me to do today? And if you can't do that the whole day, say, God, what do you want me to do before 10 a.m. today? Don't take the big bite. Don't eat the whole pizza. Just take the pepperoni, if that's what it takes to get you started. God, what do you want me to do today? And then do it. And watch, because he is going to give you opportunity. Trust me. He is going to give you opportunity to do whatever he has asked you to do. And while you're doing that, be authentic about it. Be real. Don't be fake. There's enough fakeness in our world, wouldn't you agree? Yeah. There's enough fake with fakeness, and God's not calling us to be fake. God is calling us to be authentic. Know your testimony, right? Who here has read The Purpose-Driven Life? Remember how many years ago that was? That was the big thing, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and we all did sermon series on it, and we all did Bible studies, and we all read the book, and chapter one, and I'm not going to put you on the spot, chapter one is, it's not about you. And that's the first thing he says. So if you buy into that, that it's not about you, and you buy into God has a dream for you to be Christ-like, then what I'm going to say to you is, what's your testimony? I don't believe God takes you through anything for you. I honestly don't. I think God takes you through things, A, so that you build confidence in your faith that he keeps his promises. But more importantly, God takes you through things so that you will come alongside someone else and take them through things. So if you don't have a testimony, if I came up to you and said, so what's your testimony? If you were like, well, I don't know. I want you to pray about that. My son, when he was young, my son's a very good boy. I mean, he really is. He's just a good boy. Always has been. A rule follower. We won't talk about the second one, but my son is a rule follower. And he said to me when he was about 15, he said, honestly, Mom, how could I lead people to Jesus? I mean, I've never done drugs. I've never skipped school. I've never drank. I've never been in trouble. How could I possibly lead anyone to Christ? And I said, Dylan, that's exactly how you'll lead someone to Christ. Your testimony is, my self-worth in Christ makes me strong and know who I am, that I don't need to do drugs to find out who I am. Or to numb anything, or I don't need to drink, and I don't need to break the rules, because I know my worth in Christ, and Christ wants more for me. And I said, that is your testimony. So I pray that you, if anyone ever came to you and asks you what your testimony is, you'll know what it is. And it doesn't have to be anything huge. Because the person you're telling it to, they don't need anything huge at that moment. They just need you to come alongside them and walk them through it. and M. When I went with my pastor and I was going over this with her, I said to her, and then M. And she said, motivation. And I was like, ooh, that's good. I didn't come up with that, but that's good. What motivates you? What motivates you to be Christ-like? What motivates you to be in God's word? What motivates you to share your testimony? What motivates you to come alongside the person next to you and walk with them through their journey? Is it that? I hope so. I hope Christ dying on the cross for you and God calling you by name is what motivates you. But my word, maximum impact. I just love that. That to me is larger than life. Maximum impact. What is your maximum impact for Christ? What is it? We can take all those other words, right? Deny, doer. We can take all of those, expectations, reality, reverence. And whatever word God has spoken in your heart today is what you can use and what you're called to use for the maximum impact of Christ. I love those fireworks, don't you? It's like an explosion to me. So, are you ready to deny yourself? Are you ready to be a doer? Are you ready to be realistic and make your reality all your strength, all your heart, all your mind? Are you ready to expect and know that you are worthy of what God has for you? Are you willing to be authentic? Sometimes that's tough, because that really does call for some vulnerability. And we all know in our world, vulnerability is seen as a weakness. And it's not. It's a strength to know that you have been called by God by name to bring somebody else into the fold. You are a part of God's dream team. And of course, our maximum impact. This here is a word search. Can you guys see that? Trust me. Have faith. This is a word search, and it's kind of like our life, right? It's a puzzle. All kinds of words everywhere, or letters everywhere, and you, if you search, you can find some stuff in there. You can find all the words we discussed today in there. I promise. And if you take some time to search, search God's word, you can switch it. Will it go for you? There you go. Look at how pretty it is, right? It was just plain old white. And we searched and we took some time. We took some time with God. And look at all of the vibrant color and all the boldness and all the impact that we can have for Christ if we just search. So I pray that God has laid a message, a word or two or three on your heart. And I pray, and this isn't going to sound very nice, but I pray that the Holy Spirit makes you restless in that word. And no matter what you do, the word just won't go away until you do what God is calling you to do. So I pray for a little uncomfortableness and a little, maybe a little awkwardness as you step out with your word and you share it. I have a new obsession with, has anyone seen the version of the Bible called Word on the Street? This is my new thing. And when I study the Bible, I go to the Word on the Street and I read it, and I just love this version. It's not any, you know, it's like the Message. We have the Message version, and we have the NIV and the CEB, and we have all of these different versions and translations. Well, this is called The Word on the Street, and it's by Rob Lacey. And I'm going to leave you with one of the scriptures that Pastor Brian read to you, Romans 12:2. And can you put that slide forward for me, please? Thank you. Romans 12:2 says, don't get molded by what the advertisements say you should do or be. Keep on becoming more and more outstanding, literally standing out. As your thinking's freshened up regularly, then you will know what God wants for you, what His plan is for your life, the plan that cannot be criticized, for it is God's dream. Thank you for your time. Do you want me to do it? I can. It's your call. Okay. All right. At this time, we are going to call our ushers